Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Bottom Line Sports Show, with great guests and great laughs all call home. Now, from the Man Cave Studios in New Jersey, here are your hosts of the Bottom Line Sports Show.
Another edition of the Bottom Line Sports Show, and a round of applause. March Madness is here. I'm super excited, as you can tell. Gerald Brown here, flying solo, 347-324-5839. Dynamic show on tap, as we're going to go ahead and get into the particulars with the NCAA bracket breakdown. We'll look at all the stuff with the bracket. We'll tell you which ones is the easiest, which one is the toughest. We'll look into in depth in that, and I'll tell you why. And apparently, it seems that we have our first team going home, which is Manhattan College. They're going home, so you know their season was very good, but didn't get it out of the 16th round, the matchup of the first four. So you know. You couldn't do that. Don't do that. First team to advance in the tournament is Hampton University. And I always felt like, you know, we don't accept them, the first four teams, the first four in. We don't accept those teams into the brackets. And it's like, why? Because this is the time of the year, and I think, I can't remember if it's this or the Super Bowl, where the largest amount of money is made and via betting. It's almost hysterical in terms of how much money is made during this time. But the funny thing is that you don't see a lot of people bet or include the first four. I just thought that was so interesting. You just don't see that. So if definitely, you know, the first four is Hampton. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll look at also, I think Kentucky's got an easy route to the NCAA Final Four, and I think that it's all played out very well for them. And I'll tell you, there's a reason behind this in terms of why the NCAA wants them to be in the Final Four, as well as we'll get into some conversation. We'll talk with 5 minutes with the great Eddie Murphy. Yes, the great Eddie Murphy. We'll break down some of the stuff as well as with the brackets. We'll also talk to Kentucky's Derek Anderson, great friend to the show. And just understand, you know, when he played at Kentucky that year, and I think they had this all-world team, the expectation, how will they handle the pressure? And also, how do you handle the pressure of the expectation to win it all, especially with a rabid fan base like the University of Kentucky's has? 347-324-5839, 347-324-5839 is the number to call in. We'll also be talking Vast Ironhurst as well as Jake Fisher in the first and second round picks. We'll get their thoughts and opinions on that. And some of the matchups that, again, it's so difficult. A friend of mine is tonight trying to help, ask me to help them pick out the brackets. And I've always said the logic is, the rule of thumb that we all go by is, you know, 5 versus 12, you're going to have your upsets. But the 8-9 game is just like a toss-up. I mean, you can flip a coin. 8 versus 9 is so difficult. And most of the time, I tell people, do multiple brackets. Just do multiple brackets. That is the best thing to do in order to be on the safe side. As Fife Dog is in the house joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Fife Dog, give him a round of applause, please. A.K.A. Malik Taylor. Fife, what's going on?
Sammy, you know, I'll be working it out for you, man. I'm stuck in traffic in Frisco trying to get over the bridge. You know, I have to call in.
Well, we appreciate that because I got a bone to pick with you, man. I really do. Just to deviate a little from the whole notion of the NCAA tournament, you know, we're going to get into this whole get into know, because you have this notion about Ohio State as their program and their quarterbacks are just as so much better than the Florida State Seminoles. And for those that don't know, you know, Fife Dog is a long time diehard Ohio State Buckeye fan, and rightfully so. I'm a longtime diehard Florida State Seminole fan. And, again, I just detected a notion of haterade out there from Fife when Braxton Miller, a.k.a., wanted to come to a team that will help him get to the NFL and not play running back or be a four-string quarterback. Fife took a little offense to that. So, Fife, do explain where your logic behind everything in terms of feeling that Ohio State quarterbacks, they have produced so well in the league, because I can't recall one.
First of all, stop gassing the people like I said that. I never said that. I got mad at you because I know good well Braxton Miller ain't going to no FSU. And if he did, whatever quarterbacks from FSU did their thing just like Ohio State. Neither school did they think at the quarterback position. Let's just keep it real. I know one thing.
Charlie Ward, I think, won a Heisman. So, I mean, Chris Winkie was in the league.
Thank God for the New York Knicks. I know that.
I believe Christian Ponder is in the league.
Stop it. Just stop it right now. Cut it out. What am I supposed to come behind that with? Troy Smith? Really? Didn't he win a Heisman?
So then don't ever compare North Carolina basketball with Florida State football. Don't do that. Because you make it sound like North Carolina has had a tremendous run. But let's be clear about one thing. The run has stopped a long time ago, my friend, in terms of superior talent going to the NBA.
All right. Fair enough. I never compared Carolina ball to FSU football. What are you talking about?
Well, I know you try to throw those in there when I bring in my Louisville Cardinals, the best team in college basketball, you know?
You're really dashing yourself with the hand claps, baby boy.
But, you know, Fife, just give some people the background, the story behind it. You know, so Fife is also not only Ohio State football fan, but a diehard North Carolina Tar Heel fan. And I am a Louisville Cardinal fan. And so, you know, I told Fife I congratulated him when his team got lucky and they beat us because they wanted to make sure that a team represented the great state of North Carolina in the ACC playoffs. They didn't want to have that stuff transpire. So,
gee. Is that really what it is? Come on, man.
You guys got lucky, Fife. That's what I said. I said they got lucky, Fife.
Let me tell you what it is. Call it luck, call it what you want, but it's Louisville's fault because you guys lost, number one. Number two, Chris Jones isn't playing. The two teams are pretty much looking in the mirror at each other, but without Chris Jones, that was the reason why we won that last game in the tournament. I'm telling you. That's really why we won. We won the first game by luck. Y'all won the second game in overtime by luck. And then we won the third game because Chris Jones got suspended, expelled, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? That's why we won. It ain't no luck, and it has nothing to do with them wanting the city of somebody from North Carolina to win. Because if it was really about that, Duke would have beat Notre Dame with no problem. Keep it real. So, don't come up with those excuses. Denny Crum ain't walking back to that door. And Rick Pitino
goes. See, you always go for the jugular. You always go for the jugular. You know.
Because you go for the jugular, and you know you do.
There you go. See? There you go. This guy says Denny Crum. Like, we didn't replace him with a Hall of Fame coach in the great Rick Pitino. I don't understand when you say this. Denny Crum.
My Hall of Famer is 1-6 versus the North Carolina Tar Heels. So, go figure. It ain't about no luck. We got that number, homeboy. Yum Center, Ding Dome, whatever. We got their number. And we ain't even that good this year. We ain't even that good this year.
Yeah, you guys suck. You know, you haven't been that good in quite some time. Let's be honest.
That's the difference between me and you. I keep it real. And you be fronting.
Well, we've won 30-plus games. I mean, we've won 30-plus games for the last 4 years. I mean, you know, you have to say what it is. I mean, yeah, we have sustainability. We're not sitting around there giving kids the paper classes. I mean, we haven't been doing that.
Get another title. That's all you got to do. Get another one.
we probably get one a lot sooner than you guys will. We'll probably get one a lot sooner than you guys will. Because you know what? The old man is on his way out of there.
Let me ask you this. Besides Pharrell or Harold, whatever his name is.
NBA, lottery pick. That's what you can call him, lottery pick.
Who's going to the NBA besides him on that team? Keep it 100.
You have to say. And Marcus Paige is going where? That's right.
Well,
JP Tokido is going where?
He's going to the league. And Tokido's going to the league for the simple fact he's an athlete.
Fife, I didn't say the D-League. I said the NBA, the league.
I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be nice in the league, but name one person other than Harrell or Harold that's going to make the league from this Louisville Cardinal team.
Time will tell, but I mean, I'm trying to find out what league are you talking about Marcus Paige will be playing in. Are you talking about the Chinese Basketball League?
I'm just trying to figure that out.
I mean, I don't know. Are you talking about the Chinese Basketball League?
First of all, I can name three people from this Carolina team that have a chance to make the league. Tokido, Bryce Johnson, listen to me. Keep in mind, Marcus Paige has been playing with a bad foot all season. So let's just keep it real. I don't think either one of them should come out right now. I will admit that. But they'll make the league if they do the right thing. Trust me.
Fife, you're obviously a hip-hop connoisseur, right? You know your legendary rap, right? You know your hip-hop, right?
Right.
So just to respond at what you just said, I would always just go back to the legendary Curtis Blow, who had the great famous song called 8 Million Stories, because that's what it sounds like you're trying to give me. 8 Million Stories. Marcus Paige, his foot has been hurt. His this, his that. So what?
Pause for a second. Little summary right there. That was the worst. Cheryl, that was the worst. You all try to bring music into the phone and it'd be the worst.
It's 8 million stories, because that's what I feel like you're telling me.
I even had a song called 8 million stories, so shout out to Curtis Blow and all, because he's the original, but you could have just said Fife, just like your song, 8 million stories, but you tried to take it back to Charlie Farrell. I get it.
Fife, let's look at the brackets. What is the toughest bracket? Which region is the toughest region in the NCAA tournament, based upon what you've seen thus far?
I'm driving right now. I can't even think because I didn't really stare at the brackets. So I'd have to guess if you really wanted me to answer, but I can't even answer that right now.
Yeah, I think that honestly, it seems like this year, it apparently seems like it balances out. I think the Western region, the West region is going to be tough. You got Wisconsin, you got Oklahoma in there, you got North Carolina, you got Virginia Commonwealth, you got Ohio State, and then you got Arizona in there. The East bracket, you have Villanova, LSU, Louisville, you know, Michigan State is in there, Virginia, ho-hum is there, and then in the South, it's just really interesting. I think that the West bracket, the West region, is probably the hardest. In fact, I got to say, the easiest region, I'm sorry, is probably the Midwest region. It's a toss-up between the East and the South. The South has Duke, Utah, Georgetown, SMU, and Gonzaga in there. And if you look at the Midwest region, you have Kentucky, Cincinnati, Purdue, Virginia, Maryland, Notre Dame, Indiana, Wichita State, and Kansas. I think I'm going to have to go with the South region as perhaps being the two easiest regions that exist in the tournament. Is it surprising that Kentucky seems to have a easy path to the Final Four, being the number one overall team in the tournament? And is that fair, Fife?
I definitely don't think it's fair. I do think they have the easiest path, especially starting off playing in Louisville, matter of fact. You know what I mean? So, you know, that arena is going to be nothing but blue, you know, for the first couple of rounds or whatever. So, yeah, they definitely have an easy path, and it's definitely not fair. I think they need to scramble that a little bit and try to bring some type of toughness to the to the matchups, or at least where it's located. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think that, again, it just seems like they have picked out a good bracket. I mean, look, they are going to go from the way the bracket is set up. Kentucky will play in Louisville. They'll move on to Cleveland. And thus, if everything holds true to form, they'll end up in Indianapolis. And that is all right there within a driving distance. And you're talking about the rabid Big Blue Nation. They will be in full force going out to see University of Kentucky. And I mean, they got easily, hands down, that's not even a drive, that's not even an airplane flight for these people. This is all car drives. I mean, this is all car drives, whereas you have a team, and I don't understand the whole notion that for some reason it's perhaps going to make some sense, but you have teams that are in the East bracket like Louisville that's playing in Seattle. And if they win, they win the two games there, they're going to have to come back to Syracuse. Whereas, you know, the West, you have teams in the West bracket playing in Jacksonville, Florida. And if they win, you know, the Wofford in North Carolina, they're playing the West bracket. They're playing in Jacksonville, Florida. If they win, they're going to have to go out to, you know, Los Angeles. So I just think that it's a little weird in terms of how they have set up the brackets thus far, but you know it makes a lot of sense. Let's be honest, this is a lot of money that's going to be made off of the NCAA tournament. CBS pays $1 billion plus for the rights to telecast all the games and stuff, and there's money to be made, and you want to sell tickets. And can you imagine with Kentucky looking the way that they are, you want to make it set up that you want to make certain that you have them as best possible representing in Indianapolis at the Dome. And, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, but I think it's a little unfair that they haven't been tested, but yet they have an easy route to the Final Four. Fife, was it a right move by to give Duke a number one seed over Virginia when Virginia won the regular season conference title? I didn't unlike that move, and I think, once again, it's all predicated on Duke having the name.
Right. That's totally disrespectful. Totally unfair, and you could tell Vastar that I said it straight up. That wasn't right. That was absolutely not right. And I respect Duke squad and what they've been able to do, but come on, man. 1 + 1 is not 3. Let's keep it 100, man. You know what I'm saying? Virginia did their thing this year, and even though neither team ended up winning the ACC, even if North Carolina had won the ACC, I'm not giving them a higher seed just because they won the ACC tournament. But Virginia actually deserved it. They did their thing this year and last year. You know what I mean? So they should have definitely got a better seeding than Duke. That's just ridiculous.
But, yeah, you know, I totally agree.
I guess it's at the end of the day.
Yeah, he is Fife Dog. I'm Gerald Brown. 347-324-5839. Upcoming Derek Anderson, former Kentucky Wildcat as well as NBA player and actually NBA champion with the Miami Heat here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. I agree with you. Look, I just think clearly the Duke Blue Devils are, if you will, not America's team, but they're the NCAA's team. You know, that's the sort of gold standard, if you will, in terms of college basketball teams and programs. And clearly that was it. I really struggled with that because I could not understand why they were given a number one seed and essentially basically had the same type of success. I think Duke might have won one more game in the conference, but still in all, in conference play, Duke won their first game in a blowout against NC State. Virginia won their game, so they both lost in the second round. Duke, Virginia, unfortunately, lost to North Carolina. It was a big upset. And then Duke lost to Notre Dame. So, I mean, I just didn't see if it was a coin flip. I thought that you reward the regular season champion with the number one seed, and it shouldn't have been there. Fife, Villanova has to be the weakest number one seed of them all. I mean, let's be honest. The Big East, and we had talked about this last week, the Big East is not what it once was, and we can't look at that. And that's why I struggle, Fife, looking at Villanova and saying that they're a legitimate number one seed. Although they had an amazing season, but Fife, Villanova, only 2 losses, 32-2 record. I don't see them being a strong number one seed.
No, you're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you, being that the Big East is not the same Big East with Syracuse and Louisville being in the ACC and then UConn being in the AAC, and it's just not the same. So props to what they were able to do, because you still got to go out there and compete. I get it, but it's definitely not the same, and they are definitely the weakest one seed out of everybody in this year tournament, but I definitely wish them well. But again, let's just keep it real. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. Now, Fife, honestly, how much work do you get done when the NCAA tournament is going on? How much work do you get done this week, these next 3 weeks
Absolutely none. None. And I'm proud to say it. This is the best month of the year. You know what I mean? This is so much fun because it's a one and done for everybody. You win or go home. And it, literally in the NCAA, it's not a seven-game series. It's you better bring your A game or it's a wrap. And I love it. The atmosphere, everything. You know what I mean? And I'd rather be there, but it's just as fun watching it on the couch or where have you. You know what I mean? So I love it, man. I get no work done. None.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fife. And I'll be honest with you. I think that this is, yeah, it's a round of applause necessary. I think that this is the type of holiday all real men like. You know, forget the Father's Day if you have children. You know, you get the traditional tie and a cheap cologne or, you know, the Christmas gift. You know, you get the cheap stuff.
Right.
I'm dead serious. You get that stuff. This is the type of holiday. This is the type of holiday that all men that love sports really, really dream. This is our Christmas because this is the time we're in a situation where we have nonstop basketball, and it's such a beautiful thing. I think this replaces football to some degree, but it's like, man, I mean, everybody gets into it, and like you said before, starting with the conference championships, and it really rides out all the way to the first week in April where you have the Final Four and the national championship game. That is a beautiful time, and like you said before, the key thing, Fife, it's a one-and-done setup.
Yeah, it's the best, man. It's the best. Like, I don't want to talk to nobody. My phone is on airplane mode the whole nine. I'm turning the phone off at the crib. Yo, B, this is it. Especially, you know, like the first couple of rounds, okay, I'll keep the phone on. You know, I'll keep the phone on at the house. But come Elite Eight or even Sweet 16, everything is off. I don't want to talk to nobody. It's a wrap.
Well, see, I only do that when my Louisville Cardinals is playing. You know, when the Louisville Cardinals are playing, I need to have total focus. And, I mean, I don't need to talk to anybody. You know, like even now, you know, I tape the games and I DVR the games. I don't want to know anybody. I don't want you calling me. The TV's already programmed to go to another channel. I don't want to know anything because I have to watch the game. And once I'm into the game, I feel like I'm on that bench with the Louisville Cardinals, and I want to watch the game. I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want to have none of that whatsoever. So I am I'm glued to the television. But I'm only like that when the Louisville Cardinals play. Anybody else, I can communicate because there's no allegiance there.
Let me take it further. When you're watching the game, whether you DVR it or not, or whether you watch it live, do you have to put on a Louisville T-shirt, hat, or jersey?
See, there you go. See.
No, I'm just asking because that's what I do. I'm Carolina.
Fife. What are you thinking that you're going to be subbed in the game?
Say that again?
Are you expecting to be subbed into the game?
Yo, I'm superstitious like that, Z. I got to do it. I got to do it. If I don't put on that T-shirt or at least a cap, you know what I'm saying? I feel like you're going to lose. And you already know I got the Carolina room in the crib, and I'll be sitting right in there watching the game. It's real with me, son. It's real.
You know, I don't go that far. I respect people that do, I kind of used to do that with my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I got my DirecTV remote specifically for my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm focused on that and just, again, I'm actually recruiting a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, and I'm trying to recruit a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm recruiting to become a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. So, you know, it's just that I'm immersed into that. You know, I'm immersed into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I got the stuff on, but I always put that stuff away once the season's over. Now, in regards to the Louisville Cardinals stuff, I traditionally wear my Cardinals gear during the course of the regular season. Once we lose and it's over with, it goes away. I don't wear anything off season, none of that stuff whatsoever. But I have to feel like, I guess I'm in that mode because I've coached basketball. I'm in that mode like I'm sitting on that bench and I'm watching the game and I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And I tell you this, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to talk. You know, you call me, you know, it's just that, you know, again, I'm not doing that at all. And, yes, Sharice Smith, I am going to recruit you to become a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan because you deserve to have Buccaneers in your life. You deserve it. Yes, you deserve it. still in all, I'm going to be watching the game. And speaking of those teams, Fife, you know, your thoughts on UNC and Louisville overall seeds. Louisville got a 3 seed. UNC got a 4 seed. UNC beat Louisville twice this year. They played 3 times. 2 times they beat them, once in the regular season as well as in the postseason. But Louisville has the better seed. How do you feel about that?
I mean, well, who had the better record regular season in the ACC? Louisville, correct?
I believe so. But head-to-head, so, you know.
I'm not even that. Not to mention, we lost a lot of games that we should have won. So at the end of the day, Louisville deserved the high seed, regardless of if we beat them twice. And remember, we were 1-1. We split the season series as far as regular season, and we beat them in the tournament. So they definitely deserve the highest seed. Now, if we'd won the whole tournament, maybe I'd have a gripe. But I really don't. Louisville definitely deserves it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm happy that, obviously, look, I'm a Louisville fan, and I'm proud to say that, you know, if you look at the whole landscape of it, I kind of thought that Louisville might slide down to a 4 or 5 seed, and then they would be in that dreaded 5 versus 12 setup. But to get a 3 seed, I thought that really spoke volumes to the factors of the league itself and looking at the teams and understanding that, you know, the Louisville Cardinals went 24-8 in their conference. And I mean, overall 24-8, finished in the top four. I was really surprised that they got a 3 seed above all. And as you mentioned about the North Carolina Tar Heels, they went 24-11. So, again, it was a couple of wins here and there that really separated them. But I thought it was very interesting. Here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, Gerald Brown, Fife Dog, upcoming Kentucky Wildcat, Derek Anderson joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. So now that we have all this stuff going on, is there a certain players that you're looking to watch in this tournament? I mean, Kentucky has all the kids, Fife.
Yeah.
Certain players?
I'm definitely have my eyes on Tyus Jones. I like his game a lot. I have my eyes on Kentucky, but I like Towns a lot. I wouldn't mind if the Knicks got him in the draft. But definitely those two I have my eyes on. And D'Angelo Russell as well from Ohio State, to name a few. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It should be really interesting. Yeah, it should be really interesting to see exactly. I mean, you're already looking at the draft, and we'll definitely delve into that a little bit closer. But, Fice, our first guest is up. Let's go to the phone lines. A gentleman, great friend to the show. Always a pleasure to talk with him. And, again, he has so much in common with this Kentucky team because, again, he was on that team they called the Incredibles, the Unforgettables, the Kentucky Wildcat team that really just ran roughshod in the NCAA tournament. He also happens to own a NBA championship and also outstanding motivational speaker, the book Stamina. He does it all. Put your hands together for Derek Anderson. D.A., what's going on?
Man, all is well, man. I love your crowd, man. Love the energy.
Oh, please. It's all Kentucky fans, all Louisville fans. I had to pay them to clap for you, D.A. D.A., what are your thoughts on the Kentucky getting sort of an easy path to the Final Four? I look at the route that they have to go. Clearly, this is all about a money marketing opportunity for the NCAA to make sure that that Big Blue Nation is really a car ride to Indianapolis. Your thoughts on just really their overall seed and the route they have to get to Indianapolis?
Well, I think it's kind of funny. It's kind of like you're the best team, but you're playing a lower seed. So I think it's if you went to undefeated and you earned it through the season, sometimes they should look out for you. I mean, I'd rather play the best just to prove it that I'm the best. But like you said, it's a money machine. So I guess they looked at it that way of maybe trying to reward them. But I think they've earned a lot. They went through some tough stuff, and they made it. So I give them that credit. But I think for me, when I played, we wanted to play the best. You know, don't give us no easy schedule. Don't let some team squeak by. But again, we don't have control over that. So the guys are going to be ready, and I think it'll be I think we should get. If we don't have to play West Virginia, I think it'll be an easy walk.
Well said.
DA, what's good, family?
What's going on with you, man?
I'm good, man. Have a question for you. Compare the Kentucky team you played for. That won the championship, I believe y'all beat Syracuse, versus the Kentucky team right now. Who will win right now?
They only averaged 69 points, and we averaged 91. Well, it's just different because those guys are young. Like, we had three seniors, like three juniors, and only Rob Mercer and Wayne Turner was freshmen. Everybody else has been there. These are
young guys.
So if Booker was a junior, if, you know, Towns was a junior, like now I can have a conversation. But with these guys being so young, they wouldn't know how to handle our press for 40 minutes. Like they say the bigs come out, but which one of them dudes, like Willie Cauley-Stein is not going to guard Antoine Walker for 40 minutes and Walter McCarty.
Right.
They shot 3 points. He's guarding guys that's not shooting threes as big. So it's just a difference. And I think that was our key. We had our bigs that throw it. You know, me and Ron Mercer and Tony Devil, we would post up. Jeff Shepard, who was the MVP in 98 championship. So we had guys that understood how to play the game at every level. So I think I always tell people, the only reason we would beat a team like that is from experience and from the depth that we had. Like, no one's going to, like, who's going to guard me and Ron Mercer the whole game?
Right. So let me ask you this as well. So being that you guys averaged in the 90s and won a championship, is there any team that has come through Kentucky that can hang with your, you know, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins squad, or Anthony Davis's championship squad?
I thought the John Wallston team fit better, you know, as far as talent-wise. I thought that they were, because, like, John Wall and Eric Bledsoe could break our press. But the problem with them was if you didn't, you know what I mean, so if you didn't press, they probably, the reason they lost is all they did was go one-on-one. That's why they lost. Like, that's why if Cal would have ran plays with them, like he's doing this year's team, oh, they would have beat everybody by 20 or 30. That's when we could have talked. And the 2012 team, they didn't blow a whole lot of people out at all. They were just fundamentally sound. They were young, but they played hard, and they got the job done. Again, they were young. Like, you look how many teams they blew out. None. They had blew out a few teams, but we blew out everybody. 86 points at halftime. You know, we beat Tim Duncan by 20, Keith Van Horn by 31. Like, we were beating great players and teams by a lot. And that was a difference.
Okay.
So,
got you.
I think we would beat everybody.
Yeah. D.A., when you look at talk about the pressure of being expected to win it at all in the NCAA tournament that Kentucky will face. The first game up now will be officially against Hampton University, who got by Manhattan in the first four set of games. And how did your Kentucky team handle that pressure going into the tournament?
It wasn't any pressure for us. I think what happened was Coach Pitino sat down half our starting five against Mississippi State, and when he did that on purpose, he got everyone's attention. Because we had just beaten Mississippi State by 20, so he sat everybody down, and we were like, what are we doing? But he was trying to let us know, don't get complacent. So we were already had an attitude, like we were upset that we got beat when we shouldn't have. We were trying to run the gauntlet and win the championship at every level. So he brought it to our attention. It was a hard lesson learned, but when we got to the tournament, it was nothing stopping us. Everybody, every beginning of every game, everybody was talking about it. Antoine said it the most. He was like, let's destroy them. Don't play with them. That was the first thing that came out of our mouth. Let's destroy them and don't play with them. And that's the way we approached it.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. He is Derek Anderson joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Gerald Brown, Fife Dog, 347-324-5839. You live in Atlanta and spend some of your time in Atlanta, and you played for the San Antonio Spurs, switching gears, going over to the NBA side. How much do you, the Hawks, this current Atlanta Hawks team, resemble the San Antonio Spurs, in your opinion?
I think they resemble them a little bit, but I think because they don't have a Tim Duncan, they don't have the guy to pass out of the post. Everyone passes on that team. You know, and I think the only difference is the post play. Because the rest of them, Bud taught them, and Bud was there when I was there. Pass the ball, make people play defense, and you help each other out. You stay positive. You look at this team, they don't never complain with each other, good, win or lose. They've built in a mindset that they're a team. So that's how they win as a team. But you can't tell me another coach would have ran the same, would have came in and coached his team, and they would have done what they've done. It has to be a mental thing, and he's taught them how to play well. And they resemble only in the fact that they learn how to play the game, how to think the game as one unit. That's what I like about
them. Yeah. Are you surprised that all the things have not worked out yet in Dallas with the Mavericks and adding Rajon Rondo?
Nah, man, it's a business. There were some other guys. I was in L.A. the other day, and I was with some guys, former Clippers, former L.A. guys, and we were all talking. And everyone said when it became money in the business, basketball went out the window. Basketball became secondary in the NBA. It was all about checks, money, moving. All of that stuff became number one. Basketball was second tier at that. So I'm not surprised anymore. I saw it. Everyone sees it. You know, back in the day, one guy who came on the team, if he was a solid player and he was good for you, they kept him. Now you can be an all-star for 2 years, and then they'll trade you the next year. It just doesn't make sense. So we've learned to deal with it. I'm used to Dallas and all these other teams doing that with star players. They want to figure out what's best money-wise, and if it doesn't work, he can leave.
Yeah. D.A., what is it like to win a national championship? And as well as, you know, an NBA championship, you know, you've had the opportunity to win both of those. Talk about what was it like? What was that feeling like to win, you know, a national championship as well as an NBA championship?
Well, the NBA championship was fun because you had done something that a lot of people will never, ever do and never get a chance to do. So I realized that. And it was good. I played with Shaq, Gary Payton, Dwayne Wade. I played with some Hall of Famers, so I was excited about that. Alonzo Mourning. I played with some great guys. But when I went to college and we won a championship, it was like your dream that you could have when you was a kid. You know, because when you're playing as a kid, you never think about dreaming to win a championship in the pros. You think about just going to the pros. But when you think about going to college and you see the March Madness, that's what you dream about. You want to be at that standing podium at the end and winning that, man. It was emotional. Like we were so excited. Like we were happy for almost 2-3 months after that. When the pros, you were just happy once you got the check after the season, the series was over.
You said you got emotional and stuff like that. Did you shed a tear after y'all won the championship in college?
Not on the floor, but once we got to the locker room, once we got to the hotel and it sunk in, we were watching the highlights, and Ron Mercer was my roommate, and he was like, man, can you believe we just won this championship after all we've been through? And I was like, you know, I got to thinking about my life, too, like how I grew up, and I'm like, man, you're right, man. We just did something that a lot of people would never do. And they can't come back to school. You can go to different NBA and still win it. But you can't go back to college, man. It was like, it was what it was all worth, man. It was like, I just shed a tear right there, and I was like, wow. You know, it was one of the emotional things that you were proud of yourself. Most, like, I'm a humble dude, so being proud of myself is not something that I look at all the time. So when I did that, it was like, wow, that was great.
Yeah, the only reason why I ask is because I know you guys had those jean uniforms on, so I didn't know if you had to start crying and all that stuff, and them jean uniforms started running.
They shrinking up on us.
You know, y'all had a Lee jean, y'all had Levi uniforms and stuff. I remember that, but
it's a.
Times have changed, though, but it's really something that's really going to be fascinating. Now, obviously, Fife and I it'd be fools to sit up here and ask you your final four picks, but give us the three teams that you believe will be there joining your Kentucky Wildcats.
I honestly think Wisconsin and Duke will be there. I really think Louisville can slide by everybody.
Wow, look at this. You see this guy? You know what? You made my night, B.A. Sorry for telling you, you made my night. You made my night. Don't put the kiss of death on him, though, D.A.
No, this is the thing, though. You think about it. Like, if they go play Villanova and they beat them, Villanova can't make shots, they can beat them. And then they go against North Iowa, and, you know, they can beat these teams and playing against, if Michigan State gets to them, again, Louisville knows how to play, you know, solid defense if they making shots. The only time you've seen Louisville lose is when they don't make shots. When you see them making shots, they beat people. And that's just how they play. So, And they're a battle-tested team. You know, Coach Pizzino, he knows how to keep guys thinking and playing at the right time. So I would never doubt them out, count them out. That's the only one that I see can upset.
Yeah, I just worry about Quentin Snyder being a freshman and point guard and stuff. And, again, the margin of error, when you struggle to score, the margin of error is so small. And really the bench production, like Anton Gill, every time he comes in the game, I just feel sorry for him because he just cannot shoot at all. And this is a young man that was projected to be a shooter. It just really, like you said before, they really, really struggle in terms of adding scoring to that sort of bench, and that's been a big sort of Achilles heel with them. And guys, now you're forced to be scorers, you know, as opposed to years past, you had a Russ Smith and Luke Hancock that could sort of carry the load for them. But who is your final? Who's the three teams? So you have obviously Kentucky there. You said you have Wisconsin there. Who else do you have there?
I think Duke will come out.
And who else?
And Louisville's on the top bracket, correct?
Yeah, Louisville's in the top bracket. So that'll be your three teams there? Your three teams
so
joining.
Right. If we play West Virginia, they'll give us a real hard game. Like,
really?
I'm hoping they lose to Maryland.
Really?
They'll give us a really hard game. If you see how scrappy these guys play, you remember when we lost to Marquette that year? They was hitting shots that they never hit?
Yes.
That's what West Virginia plays like. They can just come out and shoot 33s and hit 20 of them, and we'd be down 60. And you'll look up and be like, we get big, we get touches on the inside, but they hitting all jumpers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only team that bothers me. Them and Wisconsin, the only team that bothers me at all.
Well, you know, no concern about Arizona.
No, not at all. I don't think they have enough depth for us. I think they got a couple of solid players, and that freshman they got is really talented. But if you watch him play, he just wants to score. Like he's trying to get to the cup. He's trying to score, and you can't play in a tournament and expect to do that. You know, unless you're like a Glenn Robinson, who's gonna give you 40, and no matter if you double team them, but he's not built like that. So I watch a lot of these teams playing. If you don't play as a team, you're not gonna beat us.
Yeah. Derek Anderson joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, 347-324-5839. D.A., the last question before we let you get on out of here. I've always said that when you're not battle-tested, you know, it becomes that much more difficult where you're in the NCAA tournament and now you have to perhaps play a sort of close game. We saw it, I wouldn't say similar because of UNLV. I think UNLV had a regular season, the pre-conference schedule when they had that unbelievable run. They went out and played a lot of teams. They sort of were battle tested and then they went into the NCAA tournament. But if you look at it, you know, Kentucky, yes, they played some of the teams early on. I think Louisville was perhaps maybe the last team out of conference, but still in all, they play in a football conference in terms of the SEC. Is there any concern that because of that, that might hurt this team because they haven't had that loss somewhere down the season down the line to sort of understand what it will take to win a championship?
You know what? There's a twofold to that. I think we've been battle tested. We played Kansas early on and we blew them out, and then we had a couple of close games, overtimes on the road, and we pulled those out. I think we've been battle tested, but I don't think we've played the best team. Like if we'd have played the ACC, I think we might have lost one or two on the road you know, to one of those good teams. But because we've been battle-tested and you got one game, they have to prepare like we do. You only get a day or two or maybe a few days to prepare for that, not like a whole season to figure out how they play. So I honestly think we've been battle-tested. My only thing is, how will they respond if it's really tight and have to make a like a game-winning shot? Like last year, the Harrison twin made it for us, but those weren't plays called. Those were just him making dribble-up shots and knocking them down. So it's a two-fold question, man. I don't know. It's just I think we're ready. I don't think we're going to be lagged. But, again, if we play West Virginia and Wisconsin who shoot jumpers and they have some guys that can take you off the dribble as the big size and don't let our bigs block shots, those are the only people I see as a threat to us.
Yeah. D.A., talk about some of the stuff that you have going on. I know Stamina, the book, it's outstanding. Make sure you go get a copy of it. Amazon as well as DerekAndersonWorks.com, I believe. Talk about some of the things that you have coming up and really all the great things that you do from a philanthropic standpoint.
Well, I just like to, again, I like to better people's lives. I don't get caught up in trying to be famous. I like to be effective, and that's the biggest key. We got so many celebrities who think that they got paid and made it successful and don't think they need to help other people, and then I wonder why our world's always bad. So to me, I think if I've been blessed with what I have, a platform even like you, the platforms we have, we need to maximize them helping people. We keep tearing each other down, and we wonder why the world keeps going to hell. So I just want to uplift people and keep sharing love, and whatever happens with that, man, I just want to leave that behind so I don't live in stress and hatred in my heart. So I just love doing that, speaking tours. I'm going to Birmingham to speak to a bunch of kids. I just love speaking to kids, man, and even grown-ups. You know, we have grown conversations. It's, you know, iron sharpens iron type of conversations. And if we keep building each other up, man, we'll be a better people as a whole and not have to worry about nothing else in the world. So that's what I like to do, and I continue to do it.
Yeah, and definitely go to DerekAndersonWorks.com. You get all the information. It's a book. It's a very, very powerful book about Derek's upbringing and his story, and again, I'm quite certain, and I know DA has talked about it off air a lot in terms of a movie version of the book, that I can't really wait for that. And you know, one of the things I always say, you know, I always applaud and I admire the great things that you have done, DA, in terms of even before knowing you and getting obviously opportunity to communicate with you, I've always heard the great things about loyalty and really, really supporting folks in your city and really, really being an inspiration, a pillar of inspiration to other individuals. And with the book and now going around really inciting people and trying to inspiring people to uplift them, I think that's a very, very powerful tool. And I salute you and applaud all that you have done and continue to do moving forward.
Well, thank you, man. You can't be a real man if you're not able to help another man. So, to me, if you out here just hating and doing anything, I don't think you're real. But if you're able to help someone else out, man, I think you're a better person for it. So, I'm thankful I've been blessed to be in this position to help. So, you keep doing what you're doing. I always support it.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Dave. We'll talk to you real soon.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Hey. Derek Anderson, join us. Great DA. Very, very powerful brother, man. Very, very good guy, and joy and pleasure, man. Any chance you reach out to him, always available. I mean, again, very outstanding motivational speaker in terms of his upbringing, having to be a parent at such a young age, homelessness, you know, all these things. I mean, the book is amazing. Stamina, the book is Stamina. You can catch it on Amazon.com as well as Derek Anderson Works, WORKS.com. Do yourself a favor. Pick up the book. It's a must-read, and it just really just hits home in terms of the challenges people have had to face in order to achieve success, but more importantly, never forgetting where they've come from, but also going back to help others that are outside of his inner circle. You know, it's always say, I want to take care of my people, but in essence, he is actually taking care of his people and peoples. So salute Derek Anderson. Even though he's born in the city of Louisville, but he went to Lexington, that other school down there. But I always say, you know what, again, he's one of the great guys. So Derek Anderson, definitely enjoyed speaking to him. 347-324-5839. 347-324-5839 is the number. We're going to be talking to Vast, I Heard, and Jake Fisher the dynamic duo, because this is the time of the year you get, like I said before, all of this whole notion, everything is focused on college basketball. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk somewhat about the NBA in terms of this whole situation transpiring with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Fife. Serge Ibaka is going to be out now 4 to 6 weeks. You've already heard about Kevin Durant going out with the foot problems. He's going to be out another a week or so. Russell Westbrook has really been carrying his team. But Fife, have they just run into a situation where injuries have just caught up to them?
Absolutely. It's just hard luck, man. But I still think it could be a blessing in disguise as far as, all right, let them heal up. And once the postseason arrives, maybe they can make some type of run. You know what I mean? So I'm still not sleeping on them. You know what I mean? But it's definitely a shame, and it's definitely hard luck.
Yeah. I just think that they don't get in the playoffs. I'm sorry. I don't think they have it. I think just injuries have really taken their toll on this organization. And it's just been that way for some time. And they haven't been able to sustain a lot of that success in terms of just being healthy. And let's be honest, I don't see Kevin Durant coming back and playing this season. And if I'm advising Durant, I wouldn't have him go back. Would you?
Well, that's the huge part.
Yeah, we lost Fife there. It seems like a cold drop. But I wouldn't. There's no reason whatsoever for Kevin Durant to come back and play this season, especially going into free agency and pretty much next year. And inevitably, he's going to sign a one-year deal because of the whole television money. That he's going to sign a one-year deal next year after next season and thus be able to go in and get that max money. And I there's no reason. There's no reason whatsoever to go back and play this year. I've always said this. Foot problems with a big guy is a very, very scary situation as Fife is back here. Fife, I wouldn't advise Kevin Durant to come back out there and play at all simply because of the fact that free agency is right around the corner for him.
Right. I totally agree. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the start all, end all right there. If he's definitely not coming back and I don't advise it, then I really don't see them making the playoffs, especially with Ibaka down now, and although Westbrook is playing out of his mind right now, I really don't see them making the playoffs without Durant or the defensive prowess of Ibaka. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, Russell Westbrook might win a scoring title and do all those things, but I just don't see them really being able to advance and get into the playoffs just because of the lack of bodies and, more importantly, the players that they really, again, the players that they need in order to make that jump. Fife, you've been very, very critical of Dwight Howard. He's been out. He hopes to be out back in the next 10 to 14 days. I couldn't understand the criticism because he hasn't been able to play this year. Do you hold it against him that he hasn't been 100% healthy?
I'm not critical of him being hurt this year or whatever, but it's just a multiple of things that I didn't like. You know, the crying his way out of Orlando and stuff like that. And I really want to see the dude do well because I remember watching him play from seventh grade on. You know what I mean? But There's a couple of things about him that he's done that I haven't liked the last couple of seasons. But if he comes back and when he's healthy, I admit that I see him doing damage. But I had enough of the talking. Let's see something now. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, and he has to, you know, when he comes back, he's going to have to be able to play a role. Because let's be honest. James Harden is the MVP of the league. I'm sorry. Stephen Curry's a great guy. Again, he's really a face that the NBA loves to market. But James Harden is hands down the MVP of the league. And I think that when Dwight comes back, he is going to need to learn how to be able to play that Robin to Batman, and that being James Harden. It's going to take some time. And I just think that, again, he doesn't really need to do anything to really stand out. This is James Harden's team. Enough said. We don't need to even move in and go even further on that. In terms of the whole situation, it was really interesting that Vlade Divac, basically, who's working with the Sacramento Kings now in their front office, you know, really spoke about something where he said that he believes that DeMarcus Cousins is the most talented big man he has ever seen. And he's even included his longtime nemesis, Shaquille O'Neal, and said, quote, "I've been in basketball a long, long time, and I've had to say that he is the most talented in terms of DeMarcus Cousins, most talented big guy I've ever seen." Divac said Monday, he said, close quote, "Shaq wasn't talented. He was just strong. I was talented, but I wasn't strong," close quote. Surprised that he would say something like this and include Shaquille O'Neal in it. And, I mean, again, you have to look into some of this because the fact is Divac does work for the Sacramento Kings.
Right. I think that's exactly why he said, the biggest reason why he said that, because he works for the team and he's trying to get in even better than he already is. You know what I mean? But he sounds crazy saying that, especially the abuse that Shaquille O'Neal gave him every year in the playoffs, even though maybe Sacramento got jerked one of those times. I will admit that. But Shaquille O'Neal abused him. So if I was him, I'd keep my mouth shut, especially being that Shaquille owns a percentage of the Sacramento Kings. But,
yeah,
yo, he's talking.
I totally agree with you, and I thought about that when basically I read this, because you would think that, again, it's rivals. It's something there that in terms of the fact is, yeah, these were guys that played against one another. But then it goes back to the fact is, yeah, Shaquille O'Neal is a part of the Sacramento Kings organization and part owner. So I thought that was a little interesting and a little bit telling to see that perhaps maybe this was taken out of context. But I also think that this is a little schmoozing on both of these guys' part to make sure that they start to do anything and everything possible to sort of insulate a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who, let's be honest, he's the best player on their team. The team has struggled to win. And once again, you go through three coaches in less than a year, in less than 6 months. That's not a good recipe in terms of keeping your top player happy.
Right. Absolutely. Plus, they have the new arena coming, so they're just trying to get everything to fall in place. You know what I mean? So, but it's still silly of him to say that, because Vlade was a very good basketball player. He knows the game. And if you know the game, you know better than that statement.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, like I said before, it's, you know, they're in situations where, you know what, he's trying to make sure that, again, you know, you want to make sure that you do as much as possible in terms of, you know, say the right things and make sure that he feels great and he's looked upon good. But, I just thought it was interesting to see that. 347-324-5839. 347-324-5839. Upcoming, Jake Fisher, Vashti Hurt. We're going to get some first-round predictions, second round. You know, just look at the whole NCAA tournament brackets. And, Fife, you got to be really happy because your Knicks have forced overtime against the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm not sipping that Kool-Aid until the draft.
Let's go to the phone lines. Joining us right now, one of the of our two esteemed college basketball analysts and a gentleman that really does a lot. He's all over the place. You can catch him on. He's covering stuff with Slam, covering stuff with the Philadelphia 76ers, high school basketball up in Boston, Massachusetts, and always great friend to the show, Jake Fisher, joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Jake, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good that you guys had me on before Vashti, because I don't want to have to follow her act.
Jake, always, well, she was supposed to be on with you, and she's probably going to be coming on momentarily. But I'll start off with you. You know, again, how much is Kentucky's easy path to the Final Four? Is the committee looking to capitalize on a large fan base that is very close to Kentucky? It's a very close ride in terms of Kentucky to Indiana. Fife and I were just talking about this. It seems like it's a road that's paved out. They go to Louisville, Kentucky. They go to Cleveland. And then, ho-hum, they end up Final Four in Indianapolis.
Well, it's an easy path geographically speaking, but it's definitely not an easy path in terms of who they're going to play against. I think they have one of, if not the hardest region to get to the Final Four. I mean, first of all, the two seed in Kansas is tough. Obviously, every two seed this year is pretty talented. Pretty much every two seed have a pretty good case at being a one seed at that. And then the three seed Notre Dame, a lot of people are saying, have a really good chance at upending Kentucky in the Elite Eight if they get there. Plus, Maryland's a really good team that Kentucky will see in the Sweet 16. Some people are picking that as an upset. I think you'd be crazy to not have Kentucky in your Final Four. But in terms of the talent that they're going to be facing, it's definitely not an easy task. I mean, that 8-9 matchup winner is going to be a tough team to play too. So geographically speaking, yeah, I think that makes sense in regards to what we're talking about trying to play into that huge Big Blue Nation fan base. And obviously, they're a name brand that's going to attract viewers. And also, forget where they're from. If they were Wichita State and they were undefeated, they would have a lot of viewers wanting to watch them trying to go for that undefeated year. So I agree with what you're saying about the easy path geographically. But in terms of the actual talent on the court, Kentucky has their hands full.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at that, and maybe it's again, you know, wanting to have this notion that Kentucky can be challenged. I think that, you know, again, it makes for good television, and it makes for obviously good radio sports talk. But I just don't see it because, I mean, their bracket, you know, say what you want, the 8-9 seed, Cincinnati, Purdue, I don't think they have enough. Juwan Staten of the West Virginia Mountaineers is banged up, and that could be a situation where the traditional 5 versus 12 takes out the 5, the 12 takes out the 5 in University
yeah, for sure.
of Buffalo. I saw Maryland this week, and I mean, let's be honest, Des Wells and really the kid, Melo Trimble, who was a freshman or so, played like a freshman, but I don't think that they have enough. And then if you go down from the Northeastern, excuse me, the Notre Dame, Wichita State, even Kansas, not really seeing anything that sort of you could say is a threat to them until perhaps if they get to Indianapolis, and thus you would only have to face the winner of Wisconsin, if Arizona, the 1 and 2 seeds, if they happen to get there, that would be a team that they have to face. And you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know if North Carolina even think about getting there. But, I mean, still in all, I don't think that they have a challenge in terms of getting to Indianapolis based upon their bracket there and maybe face some type of resistance once they get there. So I just think that, again, the road might be a little paved smoothly for them. Was it right, Jake, to give Duke a number one seed over Virginia, University of Virginia, who was the regular season conference champions? And Jake, I mean, Duke, impressive season, 29-4, but 29-3 for the University of Virginia. They split the head-to-head matchup. Why is Duke a number one seed and not Virginia?
Well, I forget his name, but CBS had the NCAA selection committee chairman come on right after the field was announced, and I interviewed him, and they asked him about that, about the UVA versus Duke scenario, and Justin Anderson's injury came into play. They don't know how he is. I mean, obviously, bringing that player back into the fold. If you look at the Clippers, if you want to give a comparison to the NBA, when Blake Griffin went down, everyone thought the Clippers would fall off the face of the earth, and they'd really plummet down towards the bottom half of the Western Conference. And now that they end up playing really well, and now that they've integrated Griffin back in, they're starting to struggle a little bit. So even though they get the Virginia pretty much plugged along soundly, bringing back in that dynamic player is a total change in your offense, and they just don't know how Virginia is going to respond. And I think that's really what it came down to.
Yeah, I just thought it was one of those things where here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, Jake Fisher joining us, Gerald Brown Fife, I just thought was very surprising how to see them end up with a number one seed and Duke, Virginia gets a number two seed. But I've always said, you know, the NCAA, the Duke Blue Devils are the NCAA's darling. You know, they love the Duke Blue Devils. And, I mean, again, sometimes you might turn a blind eye. Fife and I was really just talking about some of the regions that perhaps might be the toughest. And I thought it was perhaps maybe tough if you look at the Wisconsin, their sort of region. But this year it seems to me, Jake, that the committee seems to have gotten it right. It's not really heavy loaded. I mean, you can look at some of the conferences and say the regions, excuse me, and say maybe, just maybe, name recognition alone, some of the regions are very, very stacked, the brackets, but I don't really see that. Do you see a region that you would look at and said this is perhaps the toughest region?
I definitely think Villanova has the toughest path of any one seed because I think that East region is definitely loaded, more so than the other. Obviously, pretty much it's pretty balanced. I do agree that the tournament, that the Selection Committee did a great job. But in terms of Villanova, if they beat Lafayette, which, again, no one seed has ever lost to a 16 seed, there's a really good chance they can beat NC State, which is a tremendous defensive team. They knocked off Duke and North Carolina both on the road this year. Obviously, this familiarity with that North Carolina rivalry, but that is a very, very strong NC State team. And then Villanova also drew probably the most underseeded team in the tournament in Northern Iowa as a 5 seed. I thought Northern Iowa had a good chance to be a 3 seed, and they ended up coming in as a 5. I actually have – we'll talk about it later more, but I think Northern Iowa has a really good chance of making it to the Final Four, and Villanova might have to play them in the Elite Eight when really they should be on the other side of them. Plus, you have UVA. Louisville's also in there. Providence is a really, really dangerous 6 seed. Plus, Michigan State at 7. Dude, who knows what Tom Izzo is capable of coaching his team up to do. And Georgia was one of the teams that gave they're playing Michigan State in the first round as a 10 seed. Georgia was one of the SEC teams that gave Kentucky one of its biggest scares in the regular season. So I think that East bracket is really definitely the hardest one.
Yeah, you know, you make some great points. But you like Northern Iowa. I said, Fife and I were talking about this earlier. Villanova, you know, 32-2, we understand that this is clearly not the Big East that we had grown accustomed to. You have a sort of makeshift, if you will, Big East. And Villanova was the darling, and rightfully so. Congratulations, they had 32 wins. Again, unbelievable season. But you look at them now, they go into a tournament where you're going to face more teams. I don't know if they're really battle-tested, and I feel the same way perhaps about a team in Northern Iowa, 30-3. Yes, a very impressive record, but in terms of are they battle-tested? You know, if they get past a Wyoming, you're going to potentially have a Louisville team there. Or, you know, it, just so many different things there, you know, if they're really, really battle-tested. So I think sometimes you look at that bracket and maybe you sit back and say, I know you mentioned about Northern Iowa, but we felt the same way about Villanova in terms of not really, if you will, being battle-tested.
Yeah. It's definitely the Northern Iowa thing is what's very – it's to me the most interesting matchup and prediction of the entire tournament because Wyoming – that 12-5 matchup obviously is just very historically entertaining with 12s coming out on top pretty often. And Northern Iowa is a huge sleeper bid for a lot of people to reach the Final Four, but they could very easily lose in the first round. So to me, that's the most compelling first-round matchup right there.
Sports Show, Gerald Brown, Fife Dog, 347-324-5839. We do have Vashti Hurd, who's, again, she was in Vashti Hurd, Carolina Blitz, in her defense, she was in hair and makeup not realizing it was a radio interview. Vashti, welcome aboard. We have... Fife Dog as well as, and Fife is in the car, so he's got his mic muted. He's in the car and stuff like that. Again, just making sure, and Fife, as well as Jake Fisher, as we're breaking down the brackets and really some talks of the first-round picks and predictions and stuff, we'll bring you up to speed. And look, you're a Duke fan, and you make no bones about it, but let's be honest. Vashti, your thoughts. Duke deserve a number one seed over Virginia, who won the regular season conference?
You know what? I am, and this is non-biased, Vashti here. I do think that Duke deserves the number one seed over UVA for the mere reason that every team that Virginia lost to, Duke beat, including they won their head to head matchup. So with competing in the same conference with similar records, you have to look at the head-to-head, and I also think that Duke's non-conference schedule was a bit tougher than UVA's. So all things considered, I think that Duke earned that number one seed over UVA. Now, if UVA had made the championship game in the ACC tournament, I don't think there would have been any question. But being that they were both eliminated in the semifinal round, you have to look at who had the better resume, and then you also have to look at that head-to-head matchup. And Duke beat Virginia, 69-63 at the end of January. So I think Duke deserved it.
I totally disagree with you. I 100% disagree with you because the fact is, I totally disagree with you. I mean, totally disagree with you. The fact is that, let's be honest, they won the conference. They won the regular season conference division. Their conference, plain and simple. You have the toughest conference in all of college basketball, top to bottom. Virginia won it, not Duke. Yes, they won their head-to-head matchup, but let's be honest, because of the imbalance in the schedule, they only played one time. So if that is the case, they didn't blow them out. And then you have to take in consideration they lost one of their top players in Justin Anderson. So how do you sit back and you sort of validate giving Duke a number one seed who didn't even make it to the conference championship? I'm being honest. Jake had mentioned that as well.
Let's take away the head-to-head matchup. Let's look at their non-conference schedule.
We're talking about you playing in the best conference of basketball, Vashti. I don't want to look at the non-conference. Let's look at two teams from the same conference that pretty much played they played the same teams. We can't do that, Vashti.
No, Gerald.
This is not the AAC. I'm not doing that.
Your entire record is being looked at when these people are considering
why do we not sit back and take in consideration one of their top players in Justin Anderson going down, and yet they still won the conference? Duke did not win the conference. There's no way. I don't want to look at regular season non-conference schedule, because the fact is they play in the number one conference. I mean, Jake, help me out. Am I wrong for this? I don't know.
My thinking is that this is a totally different discussion. Again, if Justin Anderson is healthy down the stretch, I think the tournament selection committee had no idea how to rate Virginia with Anderson after seeing them kind of struggle a little bit without him down the stretch. So is the Virginia team that won the regular season? The question is the Virginia team that won the regular season championship in the ACC, are they still that same team? I think that's yet to be determined.
Yeah. Vashti, just to bring you up speed, how much is Kentucky's easy path? I mean, Jake Fisher said, Jake said that, again, they will have some challenges. But I think that they will not face a competitive team or a team that they have to really worry about until they get to Indianapolis. And it really is a stone's throw. They have a laid-out schedule that, let's be honest, Big Blue Nation will not have to fly anywhere in terms of fans. They go to Louisville, Kentucky. They go to Cleveland. And then if they're lucky, they'll get to Indianapolis. It just seems like a very, very easy path to Indianapolis. And it's also, by the way, the fact is they have a large contingency that travels very well. And, oh, by the way, they possibly could set a record or tie a record going undefeated. Surprised that they're really the easy path to the possibly to Indianapolis.
Listen, when you go undefeated during the regular season, you have earned an easy path to the Final Four. When you are college basketball's premier team, you've earned an easy pass to the Final Four. Now, I do think that Kentucky, I don't think it will be extremely easy. I think that Maryland could possibly challenge Kentucky. And then past that, you know, Kansas maybe could give them a run. Kansas is so hot and cold, I'm really not sure with them. But on their way, I see Maryland giving them a run for their money. I even like Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame. I like the way they showed resiliency during the ACC tournament. They score a lot. You know, Kentucky has those big guys, but Notre Dame, they're clicking on all cylinders at the right time. So I don't think it'll be cupcake easy for Kentucky, but considering all of the other regions, they definitely have the easiest path to Indianapolis, and they earned it.
Yeah, it's... again, it's really interesting. Again, and if you look at we talked about the toughest, and Jake made a point about speaking about the East region and stuff and really how it's loaded. But I want to ask you that, and I want to ask you this, Vashti, and then go to you, Jake. It's really, I understand, you know, the travel and all the stuff and really trying to accommodate teams, but help me to understand where you have the East region, you have first-round games with Louisville facing UC Irvine taking place out in Seattle, Washington, and then if the winner out of that bracket gets to the Sweet 16, really to the Elite Eight, I'm saying it was the Elite Eight, the Elite Eight will be held in Syracuse, New York. So essentially, you'll have to fly from Seattle to Syracuse, New York. And then even in the West region, you have North Carolina and teams like North Carolina as well as Arkansas. They're playing games in Jacksonville, Florida, whereas everybody else is in Omaha, Nebraska, and Portland, Oregon. And thus, if those teams, winners out of those teams, they will go on to Los Angeles, California. Vashti, help me to understand the reasoning and the logic behind having East Region games in the West Coast as well as West Region games and perhaps the Southeast region, the Southeast of the country.
I don't get the logic behind that. But every year you're going to have an East Coast team that has to fly west in order to try to make it to the Final Four. It's tough. And, you know, for a team that has to play like a Louisville, like you said, they have to go all the way to Seattle. And then that next week they have to fly back if they make it back to the East Coast. But that's why you hope to get a better seeding. So the lower your seeding, the tougher your road, and you know that you can't really blame anybody but yourself. They make the path easier for your top four seeds in each region. They don't have to do as much traveling, and that's because they've earned an easier path to the Final Four. So you know it happens every year, and if you had a better regular season conference or a tougher schedule, better regular season record. And a tougher schedule, then you might not have to worry about those type of East to West Coast travel complications.
Yeah, Jake, I don't understand it because, I mean, even a team like, you know, yes, you got the other teams like a Wyoming, your Northern Iowa, you're going to be able to accommodate their fan bases. But, Jake, I don't understand it where you have Louisville that's all the way out in Seattle, and then the winner of that has to go all the way back east to Syracuse, New York, and vice versa, where you have BYU and the Ole Miss winner, along with teams like Baylor and Georgia, will be down in Jacksonville, Florida, and have to migrate all the way out to Los Angeles, California.
Well, Vashti said it. It happens every year, and every year it doesn't make sense. I think what the tournament committee pays more attention to is evening out the star power, the power conference team names at each location to try to draw equal amounts of tickets at each location. I think that's what ends up happening and kind of fudging up the system a little bit. Like, the reason for UNC going down to Jacksonville in the West is because that's the marquee program going down to that location. Without UNC there, it's not as an attractive ticket to buy, because for most fans, when you buy a ticket to the NCAA tournament, you buy session packs where, for example, like I'm flying to Pittsburgh tomorrow night for the Pittsburgh opening round, and there's a session one, which is Northeastern and Notre Dame, and then I believe Butler and Texas is the next game, and then after that, it's Villanova and Lafayette, NC State, and LSU. So right then and there, those are four games that have really recognizable teams. Butler, Texas, Notre Dame, Villanova, NC State. Those are teams that are automatically going to draw fans. But when you have some 6-11 matchups that aren't necessarily that great, like Xavier versus BYU, you need to help load that Jacksonville field with another high-powered team like a UNC to help kind of bring up the level of fan interest, because while the NCAA tournament does make tons and tons of money off the TV rights, the ticket sales are important because you sell tickets by four games at a time, not just one. Those session packs are where they make all their money, because a UNC fan pretty much for not that much more money can pay for six more games instead of two, and if UNC loses, they're not going to go to those games, and that's for the NCAA turns a huge profit.
That's a good point. I never thought about it that way here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Jake Fisher, Vast I Heard, joining us. Gerald Brown and the legendary Fife Dog. 347-324-5839. Before we let you both get on out of here, who are your first round? What are your first round upsets? I'll start off with you, Jake. Who are you predicting to be your first round upset? And do not include Manhattan losing to Hampton, please.
I'm sticking with the 12-5s. Tradition with Buffalo beating West Virginia and Stephen F. Austin beating Utah. Stephen F. Austin, if you remember, came from behind dramatically against VCU last year, and they're returning pretty much everyone from that team. And while I'm a big fan of Bobby Huggins down in West Virginia, this is not one of his strongest teams, I think, this year. And other than that, I got Texas over Butler. I think those are the only real big upsets I have. Obviously, like, a 10-7 happens every now and then, but I don't really view that as much as an upset, and the 9-8, I don't really count. So I'm looking at Stephen F. Austin, Buffalo, and Texas.
Yeah, and Buffalo and Stephen F. Austin, let's be honest, the young man from VCU actually helped him out. And yes, I do understand
he did
hit the three, but that was a bonehead play. Vashti, who do you have in your first-round upsets?
I don't really, and guys, I am still working on my bracket. I've been marinating over this since like 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and I've been printing it. I've been going back and forth. I don't really see any overt first round upsets, but I do like Villanova to lose to North Carolina State in that third round. I don't see them making it out of the first weekend, so I think that Villanova will lose to North Carolina. That's my first. Bold prediction, and I'm putting it in pen on my bracket.
Wow, that's really interesting there. And stay with you. Why don't you give us your final four picks before we let you get on out of here?
All right, and this is just off the top of the dome. I'm gonna go with,
oh, come on, don't validate it. Just let us know what did. You have to validate.
Out my bracket, so I just want to, you know, that is a disclaimer.
Vashti, are you waiting for Saturday's games to be over?
No. I'm going to do it this evening, but I do at least want to wait to see what happens with the playing game, and then I'm going to go from there. Of course, I'm going to go with Kentucky. I do like Kentucky to make the Final Four. They have that easy road there. In the West region, I'll probably roll with Wisconsin. In the East, I'm going to have to go with Virginia. And I like that defense. And then a South, of course, I'm going with Duke. I don't like Gonzaga to beat Duke, and I think that the Duke has a pretty nice full run.
I'm sorry, Vast.
A hater. You really have to get that out of your blood.
No Louisville love. Oh, it's okay.
Would have
shocked the world.
Honestly, Gerald, Louisville is not going to make the Final Four, but I do like them to make the Elite Eight They're not going to make the Final Four. I'm sorry.
Okay, Vast. Just pour salt in the wound, okay? Just pour salt in the wound. I know, Vast. It's okay. Just like you really believe that, again, Duke deserved to win the ACC and be seated as a number one seed. Jake, who's your Final Four teams?
Of course, you got to go with Kentucky. Just like Vast said, undefeated season, you got to give them respect. Going Arizona out west over Wisconsin. I really like the Wildcats. I love Stanley Johnson. He's probably I don't think he's the best freshman NBA draft prospect, but he's my favorite. I really, really like his game. And obviously they have a lot of veteran talent with T.J. McConnell and Tarzewski and Ronnie Hollis Jefferson had a tournament run under his belt. I think they have what it takes to get – I mean, that's probably going to be the best game of the tournament outside of the championship, Wisconsin-Arizona, I think. And then I have Duke, and my big going out on a limb – is Northern Iowa in the Final Four.
What?
I don't really have many upsets in my bracket, and I thought that would be very entertaining to root for Northern Iowa to be that Cinderella story this year. The latest teams I have outside of that are Wichita State and Providence in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So other than that, like, I really want some underdog blood in my life, and UNI is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think I'm very surprised at that. And, I mean, again, I'm not surprised, but Northern Iowa is a team that I think everybody, like I said before earlier, they haven't been battle-tested, and I'm really concerned about that. So it would be really interesting.
Wait, hold on,
Gerald.
Why didn't Jake get the womp-womp-womp? And I got it.
He didn't include Duke. He didn't include
yes,
Duke.
Did
you include Duke?
He did say Duke was in the Final Four.
Yeah, I have Duke. But I wrestled with that Duke. I wrestled with the Duke Iowa State for a long, long time. I really like Iowa State. I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa State was playing Kentucky for the national championship.
You know what? Smart man. See, he cleaned it up. He's like a politician. Jake, real quickly, let everybody know where they can catch all your work and everything that you have going on.
I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, so I'm not really exactly sure how much I'll be able to do down there, but obviously keep it locked on my Twitter, at Jake L. Fisher. Whatever I do goes through that. So maybe hopefully I'll be able to do some writing, maybe some mini features on some star players that end up writing some Cinderella stories out in Pittsburgh. But other than that, not really sure exactly what I'll be doing. And then I've got some stuff coming out for the NBA. I've got a couple features that I'm working on getting right that'll be ready for playoff time. One of them, I just talked to Courtney Lee of the Grizzlies last week, so stay tuned for that. Really excited for the next couple weeks. It's the best time of the year.
Yes, indeed. And Vasai, always a pleasure. Carolina Blitz, let everybody know everything that you have upcoming as well.
Yes, thanks. CarolinaBlitz.com. Please check out that website. That is my website I'm editor-in-chief over. Also, my Twitter, just like at @VashtiHurt, I will be covering the tournament games here in Charlotte, which will include UVA, Duke, Michigan State. They'll all be there. So at @VashtiHurt on Twitter, and I'll be doing updates from the games and also, Game Over with Vashti and Sharona, that is my weekly podcast. And you can find that on CarolinaBlitz.com. We post that on there. So.
As well. And Vashti, I need you to do me a favor. Can you just tweet the love of my life, the lovely and the talented Rita Hubbard? Can you just tweet her at Gerald VLSS and let her know? I'm getting up the courage. I'm working in sort of increments. I'm getting up the courage.
Gerald, you're not about that life.
You shut me down. Vastai and Jake, thanks again. Really appreciate it. Enjoy this March Madness, and we definitely look forward to talking down the line.
Yes.
Thanks, Gerald.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Vastai Hurd, Jake Fisher, great insight. Fife, give us your final four picks, Fife. You always laughing. Stop it, Fife. Don't you start.
I'm driving. Anyway, Gerald, you're not about that life.
There you go, Fife. Just rub it in.
Yo,
rub it in.
My final four, Virginia, Wisconsin, Kentucky, obviously, and Iowa State.
Ooh. Who do you have winning it all, Fife?
Wisconsin, kid.
I'll say. Ooh. My final four is going to be Kentucky, Arizona. I got Louisville. That's right. I said it. And I got I can't help it. And I got Iowa State coming out of there. And I got Louisville losing in the final four. I have Kentucky. Kentucky and Arizona. I have Kentucky playing – I don't know. I got Kentucky playing a little bit. I think Kentucky will win it all. I don't know. So that about wraps up the show like that. Fife, what's your bottom line for tonight?
You got Kentucky playing Louisville?
Yes.
That's my bottom line. You are out your damn mind. That'll be dope, though, sir. I give you that. That'll be dope. I do. I have Wisconsin beating Iowa State in the final.
Ooh, Big Ten, Big 12. That should be interesting. What's your bottom line for tonight, Fife?
I was serious. My bottom line is you are out your mind thinking Louisville and Kentucky is going to make the Final Four. The Battle of Kentucky, that will be crazy.
Oh, my goodness. That about wraps up the show tonight. Don't forget, we're back next Tuesday night. I'd like to thank Derek Anderson, Jake Fisher, the lovely Vastai Hurd. More importantly, we'd like to thank you. Whenever you do to listen to the Bottom Line Sports Show, we say thank you. Bottom Line Sports Show is out, and we say peace.
Peace. Hey.